through Revelation, and we're reading at verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and his diadems, crowns of a king, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one on his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given unto him, or given over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. I have often heard people say that they wish they lived in the days when the church began, when suddenly it appeared here on earth. It had never been here before. They were days of great power. They were days of great men, days of great blessing. I have often thought of that. But I rather have lived in the days when the church began, or in the days when the church's testimony is closing. And I believe if I had the choice, which I do not have, I would choose to live in the days preceding the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus to the air. What you've been hearing tonight is all related to an event that the child of God longs for. Believers are waiting for the Lord from heaven, and we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and our hearts are longing. And I would have to say that that's been my experience day after day, particularly these last few years, and more especially these last few months. I have found myself beginning every day with a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come today. And we believe he is coming. There are people who believe, and rightly so, that there is a conspiracy to take over the world by communism. You cannot know anything about communism and not believe that the design of the communist movement is to control the nations. That's a fact. Whether they will ever succeed, of course, many people have never turned to the Bible to find an answer. They will not succeed. Although we have lived to see communism take over 2/3, almost, of mankind in our lifetime, they will not take over all the world. So don't worry about it. It won't happen. But the conspiracy is real. Some have gone to great extremes, of course, seeing some communist plot behind every voice that speaks, behind every leader, or every program. But nevertheless, it is true that there is such a conspiracy. There are those who believe that there is a conspiracy to destroy our youth with drugs. I'm not sure if there is a mastermind behind it. I have talked to businessmen who have told me that to blanket the country, every village, every grade school, every corner of this land, every corner of America, to blanket it with drugs would take a tremendous program, would take a tremendous plan. Maybe there is such a plan. I don't know. It could be. But I do know there is a conspiracy. I'm not talking about a communist conspiracy, Nor am I speaking about a conspiracy by organized crime to destroy our youth. But there is a conspiracy, and there is a mastermind. And you've heard about him tonight, the lion in the streets. And my subject is the dragon among the nations. As I listened to Mr. Yoakum tonight, a thought impressed itself on my mind again and again. What a difference there is between the world God made and the world men have made. What a difference. The other morning, very early morning, I was traveling long before daylight, traveling toward the west in the middle states, and when the sun came up and the trees were covered with fine snow and the glories of the morning broke, I couldn't help but thank God for the world God has made. For oh, many a time my heart has been broken when I have seen the world that men have made. You see, sin is a kingdom. It has an overlord. It has a master. Satan would never have had any success with man were it not that, first of all, man became a sinner. Sin is the cause of the pain and the grief and the heartbreak and the tears and the grief of this poor world. It's sin that has done it. And it is sin that has given Satan a handle upon the destinies of men. It is sin that has given the dragon control. And that control is increasing every day we live. Much that you've heard tonight emphasizes that fact very clearly. But if Satan desires to have control over the minds of men and women, if his ultimate goal is to have total control over the nations of men, then much that we see happening around us today is powerful evidence of that fact. I want to stress four things tonight and do it very briefly. When I was a lad, I lived in this city. I was raised in a Christian home. I heard the word of God from childhood, and I had a great privilege to listen to very able men, long since gone to heaven, but men who knew this book and men who could teach it. Many of the things that those men taught from the Bible, had they told me at the time, you'll live to see it. You'll be here when it happens. I would have said, you're out of your mind. Why, you see, the Bible was in one realm and we lived in another. You know, the Bible couldn't have much to do with what happens to me, could it? Does it really have something to do with this July or January 1982, this 30th day of the month? Does it have anything to do with today? We believe it does. There are four things that have impressed me when I thought of this meeting tonight. You know, it's very clear that a multitude in heaven will come from every kindred and tongue and nation and people. God is not a respecter of persons. God saves people of every kind, of every class, of every color, of every ethnic background. And when at last the redeemed multitude joined in the song of heaven, there will be representatives there. Romans tells us that's so. Revelation tells us it's so. Luke tells us it's so. John tells us that there will be there those in heaven of all kinds, from every class. And Revelation 5 and 9 says, out of every kindred and nation and tongue and people. There are those who tell us that the Bible was written so many centuries ago, almost 2,000 years since the last words were penned. How could it have any relevance to the present? But it happens that that fact that there are people saved from every nation is an event of the present. The last 150 years have been the missionary years of the church's history. The first years were missionary years. The missionary effort died. It's only been 150 years now that the gospel has been going out to the nations of men, and multitudes have been gathered in every one of them cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary, saved by the death of the crucified Christ, and they'll be in heaven. And the doors are shutting. The Lord said to Philadelphia that he opened the doors, and no man can shut, and that he would shut the doors, and no man could open. The doors are closing. There are many lands today that are closed to missionary activity. We're coming almost to the close of those great days of missionary endeavor. The coming of the Lord is near. There will be saved in heaven from every nation. Thank God there will. You know, that had to be fulfilled in our time. We have lived to see an amazing thing happen in Christendom. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 divides the whole history of the church. The whole history of testimony for God into 7 periods. We have lived to see each one of those periods take place in its own time. You couldn't mistake one of them for another. You couldn't change the order. The Lord Jesus gave us the order in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And every single one of those epochs, those periods of church history have come. And all have been fulfilled. And the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I have lived to see in my own lifetime a miracle take place among the nations of men. There is no duplicate for it. It is unique. It has never happened to any nation or any people. We have seen a nation born. A nation that had been dead for 18 centuries. Born again. 1948, Israel was given the right to make Palestine their homeland. And the nation of Israel was born. There is nothing else like it. I can tell you many reasons why. It's a great miracle. The Bible foretold that event. I listened to men teach that when I was only a lad in the 30s. Didn't know I would live to see it. But we began with 150 years ago. We've spoken about the 7 periods of church history. And in 1948, Israel was going back to their land. But 1 year ago, this month, January the 1st, 1981, a great event took place. Most of you know about it. The 10th nation was ratified as a member of the European Economic Community. The common market countries took in their 10th member. Greece was ratified as a member. In the year 1957, the Treaty of Rome Nations was formed. There were 6 nations in it. It was not only a trade alliance, an economic alliance, but it was planned as a political alliance. And now there are 10 nations in that political alliance. And what does that have to do with the Bible? What does it have to do with what we read tonight in Revelation chapter 13? Well, this dragon that we read about tonight that has these 7 heads, you'll notice, it says that he has 7 heads upon the dragon. And not only does he have 7 heads, but upon those heads, set 7 diadems, the crowns of a ruler, a rightful ruler, by the way, because the Lord Jesus in John 14 said, the world ruler cometh, the prince of this earth cometh. And when on the mount the Lord Jesus was tempted, Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world. Can I remind you, friend, that that was a real temptation? It could never have been a real temptation if Satan did not have the kingdoms of the world to give. And he said to the Lord Jesus, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now this dragon that we have read about tonight, we read that he has 7 heads, We read that the number 10 is not only linked to the dragon, but it is also linked to the robot, to the man that he controls, who becomes a world dictator. We believe there will be a 10-nation alliance. We believe that that 10-nation alliance will make an alliance with the nation of Israel for their protection. And there never has been a time in history when that prophecy could be fulfilled as it can be now. Israel is in the land, surrounded by Arab enemies, hated by the nations all around them, fighting for their very existence, while billions pour into Arab coffers for the oil they sell, the billions that are being turned into armaments. The Arab nations are arming themselves to the teeth. And the little nation of Israel lies amidst those great Arab neighbors, and they are looking desperately for a friend, for someone to protect them. The 10 kingdom power will form an alliance with them, a treaty for protection, and that event will usher in the great tribulation. And is the Bible relevant? Does it have anything to do with our time, with our day, with the conditions as they are now among the nations? The European Economic Community is a tremendous power in this world. The goods manufactured in a single year have passed the $2 trillion mark. 50% of all the world's trade, the export trade of the entire world, comes from the common market nations. They actually surpassed the export trade of the United States by 35%. It's a tremendous industrial empire, but it has an Achilles heel. To have industry, you need energy. And Europe has less than 1% of the world's reserves of energy, particularly petroleum. That's the Achilles heel of the EEC, the European Economic Community. 75% of the reserves of the world lie in those lands around Israel. Israel has no oil. Their Arab neighbors do. Why then is Israel constantly on the front pages of our papers? You know, there are 300 times as many people in China as there are in Israel. And I would dare to tell you that Israel receives 100 times more copy, more lines of type in newspapers around the world than China does. The world's attention is turning again to that area at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, and the Bible is being fulfilled before our eyes. A dragon is a mythical creature, but the one that the dragon represents is far from mythical. If you were to read in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, you would find that we're not left in any doubt as to who the dragon is. In fact, the Lord himself tells us by the Spirit of God through John that the great dragon is the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. So in Revelation chapter 12, Satan is unmasked. He's the old serpent. That links him with Eden, with the fall of man, the ruin of mankind, with man's sin and guilt before a holy God. Friend, it isn't enough for you to know that this is a ruined world. It's necessary for you to know that you are a ruined sinner, guilty and unfit for heaven. And apart from the precious blood of Christ, you can never be there. Apart from the new birth, apart from getting saved, and that's Bible language, apart from that, you'll never be in heaven. He's not only the old serpent, but he's the devil. He's that mastermind down through the ages that has deceived man and has controlled the destiny of nations himself. And behind the powers of this world, The book of Daniel tells us there is demon power under the control of Satan. And he's Satan. He's the adversary of God. He's the adversary of your soul. He would love nothing better than for you to be blinded, than for the great propaganda that is so common in this world today against God, against the Bible, against spiritual truth, against everything that is holy and righteous and true. That propaganda would so affect you that you would turn from God and turn from the Bible and turn from Christ and lose your soul forever. Satan's power is great. When Adolf Hitler was in power in Germany, he managed to deceive a nation of intelligent people with propaganda. I have no doubt that what Hitler did was minuscule in comparison to what Satan is doing today. Multitudes are blinded. They are deceived by his power. He stands upon the sand of the sea, and a beast rises up out of the sea. It seems that the one who stands upon the sand has called this beast up, a wild beast. He's a man, but he's wild beast-like in character. And he rises up out of the sea, and you'll notice there's a great likeness between the dragon who controls it and the man who is controlled by him. This is the closest Satan can come to an incarnation of himself. I believe it was a mighty miracle, beyond telling, when God became incarnate. When he who is verily God became truly human, lower than angels, to die in our stead. But Satan cannot incarnate himself. But he will control this man by indwelling. This man is the son of perdition. There are two men in the Bible that Satan himself entered into. And you'll notice the seven heads and ten horns are linked to both the dragon and the man that he controls, because Satan will control the nations in the day that's coming. I'm glad to tell you that Satan is not all-powerful. His power is limited. I used to sing when I was a young Christian, God is still on his throne. And I thank God for that tonight. In fact, what I see happening around me in this world thrills my heart. Not because of the tragedies. Not because of the darkness. Not because the shadows are lengthening and the night is approaching. Not because George Bernard Shaw was right when he said, over all men's works, night falls pitiless. Dark. That's not what makes me glad. The morning is dawning. The blessed morning without cloud. The blessed morning when Christ will come. It's about to break. The morning is about to dawn. And I am waiting for the dawning of the bright and blessed day when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away. When forever with the Savior, far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the song of ages through the everlasting years. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord who died for me. How his words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee. Faith can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. My heart is longing to be with him evermore. The world is waiting. There's suspense today. The troubles of mankind have made everyone aware some great event is about to take place. I heard a University of Michigan professor a few weeks ago say that if the European nations were to see approaching the man upon the white horse, they would receive him gladly. I don't know how much that professor knew about the Bible, but the man upon the white horse is this Satan-empowered man, this man who receives his authority and his power and his kingdom from Satan, who is given power by Satan to make war against the saints. He comes in obscurity. He is ridden by the religious system that will be totally against God at that time, totally apostate. And then finally he destroys even the religious system. And he stands alone in totalitarian power. He alone, the object of worship. And it says that they worship the dragon. Satan will receive what he's always lusted for. He's longed for the worship of men's hearts. Could I press upon you tonight a choice, my friend? There will be those who will give worship to the dragon. But Revelation 13 makes it clear that none will give worship to the dragon whose hearts have been won by the Lamb of Calvary. The only safeguard for you is to be sure you have Christ. To be sure your sins are forgiven. To be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that will be the subject of my brother who follows. And God grant that the Word of God may be blessed to your heart. Amen.